Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
On Kaya959.
With Pimelo Mudine.
What's yours?
Welcome to Point of View, and thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much also to Gugu. She's back on Monday at 6 o'clock. Being our Thursday edition of Point of View, as you know, we will have a really wonderful profile interview that's planned for you. Again, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but we'll also have some wonderful music. Leroy Mark is going to be joining us, and we will be crossing live to Kenya. As you know, Kenya has really, really been tense. Kenya is on fire as we speak right now, so we'll cross to a correspondent there to just get a sense of where things are at. You know, the unrest unfortunately started yesterday, a celebration of a protest that took some lives a year ago. It was a tax bill that they were protesting, and unfortunately today as well there are reports of deaths, and so we'll cross live to Kenya as well. But the story of the day has to be the sacking of the DA, Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry. We've had lots of reaction from the DA itself. The presidency did announce earlier on that, you know, this decision has been made. No further answers were given by the presidency, but we did ask the DA to join us and maybe give us their perspective on the issue. So the DA spokesperson, Karabo Kakao, is on the line with us. A very good evening, and thank you so much for making time for us, Ms. Kakao.
Good evening, Pamela. Thank you so much for having me, and good evening to your listeners.
We obviously heard from the leader of the DA earlier on today, really lashing out, saying that he's unhappy about this decision, giving the president 48 hours to review or think about this decision. What further information do you have on why the president sacked the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry?
Look, there's the reason he's telling the world, and the real reason.
Yeah.
The reason he's telling the world is that Andrew Whitfield traveled to go to the United States on a DA visit, on a DA personal trip to the United States to try to force the peace there with bilateral engagements, and that he did so without getting permission from him. So what we know is that Andrew wrote to the president 10 days before his departure. The president never responded to him. But Andrew Whitfield is not the only person within cabinet from the Democratic Alliance who traveled but did get permission from the president. We have the Minister of Environment and Forestries and Fisheries, that's Dion George, who was also part of the same delegation that left with Andrew. So obviously, when Andrew sends then a letter to the president as a standard protocol to say, Mr. President, I'm leaving, please can you authorize? Mr. President says nothing for 10 days, but then Andrew hears Ohori, his counterpart, has gotten a thumbs up for the same trip without any decline. It's like, oh, okay, Shuti, maybe he's giving us both a thumbs up here because there's nothing different about what you and I are going to go through. So that is number one.
Yeah.
Number two is the real reason why he's firing Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
The real reason why Andrew's being fired is because as the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, he was blowing the lid on the he was also very vocal and against the transformation fund and how it is being used as another opportunity to line the pockets of fat cats entrepreneurs who are ANC cadres. Because that is what the transformation fund was being geared up to do. This obviously annoyed the president, and particularly the case of the lottery license, because it implicated the deputy president. The president then took an opportunity to bully Andrew and to use an opportunity to protect the deputy president by giving Andrew a punishment that is not worthy of the crime he committed. The reason why Ostimula say the crime he committed does not match the punishment is because the president and his cabinet has people like Nobuhle Nkabane has been lying to the Republic of South Africa about the process that was followed to appoint ANC cadres to seat her boards. The panel, whether it exists or not, which now is clear as a summer's day, that is a hoax altogether, that thing, because the people she lists there are saying when are they never sat on that panel. That is the person that the president is supposed to be firing. But she lied to Parliament and the Republic, which is a criminal case altogether. The second person the president is supposed to fire ultimately is Metanis Melan, who's 100% involved in the VBS thing. When he had an opportunity to fire her, he didn't. Instead, he reshuffled her to another ministry. The third person the president can fire is Dr. David Mashobo. Dr. David Mashobo is big in Dr. Zondo's report on state capture, that he is a culprit. The president, not only did he bring it back from the previous administration, he's not only just the MP, he's a deputy minister within the same department he was found to be problematic in, but he's also protecting him. And there are many other people who are being protected. Mm. But if indeed it was about the president wanting to make sure that he runs a tight ship and that people pay for their transgressions, then we would have seen him firing the people I've just listed amongst a range of other people. And then maybe we would be having a different conversation of whether or not Andrew should be fired or not. But because we know that the president here's issue is that he protects the ANC for crimes that have far deeper implications that impact South Africans far deeper than not getting a response to a letter you sent 10 days before by your counterpart. Like, it's just a mess, honestly. And it's really disrespectful to us as the Democratic Alliance, as his partners in the GNU.
Mr. Whitfield has publicly said that he has felt sidelined within the ministry for some time now. He says about 6 months. You know, can you give me details as to why does he state that he felt sidelined? Give us an example.
Yeah, he felt sidelined for a number of reasons. So the multiple trips that he was supposed to take, but the president didn't authorize, even though he was dedicated to take those trips internationally by his own minister, Park Sal. The president was just not having it altogether. So that's one. But two, as far as decisions that were taken within the ministry itself, because of Andrew's not one to shut up about anything he doesn't agree with, generally. And so he ruffled a lot of feathers about things that are happening in the department that are shady in his view. And as a result, people were trying to pretty much sideline him. So this is amongst a range of other things which I can't disclose right now to you, because maybe they're yet to be disclosed. But that's the nature of just how the GNU works. But his story is not unique, because you would know that in many of the ministries where the ANC has the minister, the deputy minister or the Democratic Alliance has another deputy minister serving with them, who's also from the ANC. When in some cases it would be a DA, it would be a DA deputy minister versus an ANC minister and a deputy minister within the same department, which is just petty altogether. But what we want to make it make sense here to the Republic of Pemelo is that we're giving the president 48 hours. It was 48 hours at 3:30. This 48 hours is an opportunity for the president to rethink how he is playing his cards, to rethink about whose interests he actually serves. Because you cannot, in all honesty, expect South Africans to make it make sense in their brain and think it is acceptable for you to fire a minister for going on a trip that you did not respond to while you are protecting people who are fraudsters, who are corruption accused people who are implicated within the Zondo Commission. All those people are being protected. There's no way you can expect South Africans to not see right through the lines of what the president is trying to do here. It's not about him holding his cabinet accountable, but it's 100% about him trying to get rid of an obstacle in the way while sticking a finger up the DA.
The 48 hours, and I know, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that the DA has got a meeting this evening called by the federal chair to make some decisions. This 48-hour deadline that you've given him, ultimatum, can you tell us what if he doesn't make a move? What if he doesn't change his mind? What's your plan?
So FedEx this week, and that's upon which the decision of the 48 hours was taken.
Yeah.
So as for what happens next after 48 hours, FedEx will meet again to discuss that.
Okay, I get you. So there will be a subsequent meeting after that?
Yes.
Did Mr. Whitfield, in as much as he says he acknowledges he was sidelined, did he expect to be sacked?
No, nobody expects to be sacked, Ultimate. It's weird altogether because not only did the president not reach out to him after the trip to express his dissatisfaction, but even out of proactiveness, when he realized that the president is declining all of his other trips, wrote to the president to apologize, to say, okay, you're not saying it, but I still wrote a pausa, a skis. And still there was nothing
and,
there.
And did he get a response at that point when he sent a letter to apologize?
No, still, he might. The president pretty much ghosted the man, like, Negare, chikpuku, but there was nothing going on. And so, and also, because of the context of the JNU, the expectation would be, Othobelo, that if such a decision is going to be taken, that it would be discussed with the leadership of the DA first. Because the position of that deputy minister is the DA's position. So it's only the DA that gets to decide who fills it because it's the DA's position. So it came as a shock altogether. Out of the blue, Mawani, the president just shocked all of us.
So are we saying then that there was no engagement even with the federal chair or the leader of the DA? Nothing about, you know, perhaps maybe bringing somebody else, but a candidate from the DA?
No, what happened was the president then, after he had already taken the decision, he told John as a, by the way, I taken the decision, I'm going to fire Andrew. John then yesterday asked him, please give me 24 hours so that I can engage him and the party on this thing, because we've never had anything of this case. Then we wake up, the president was later, what was it, 3 hours later to that conversation yesterday, he issues Andrew a letter of termination thanking him for his service. So in itself, John is like, how? We agreed you're going to give me 24 hours for me to process this thing, engage the leadership on this thing. And then why don't you just go ahead and do that? And by doing so, by extension, you are trying to dictate to the Democratic Alliance who they should deploy for which DA post, which he has absolutely no right to do. Because he doesn't even do that in the ANC. Within the ANC, where he is the president, he still consults his NEC.
Has the federal chair asked for an appointment or at least a conversation with the president?
That's what John is supposed to do. So the conversations between the president and the DA happen between the president of the ANC and the president of the Democratic Alliance. The conversations between the SG of the ANC happen between the SG and the chairperson of the federal executive.
So I'm not clear. So yesterday, when the leader of the DA, John Steenhuisen, said, please give me 24 hours, that was sort of the end of that conversation. Hence, I'm asking if somebody else then, you know, tried to have other subsequent conversations.
No. So that wasn't the case. And the reason why it was a by the way conversation of comment.
Yes.
Because they have standard meetings that they have. And
got
they dealt with the meetings.
You.
And then as an oh by the way, I've taken this decision. It's like, okay, can you give me 24 hours to do the things? And then he just literally shocked all of that.
So this was not a specific meeting to address the issue itself. Got you.
At all. It wasn't.
All right. As you said, there's a meeting happening this evening, and I suppose tomorrow we'll then get to hear what the federal chair and that committee has decided meeting.
The meeting happened. I said the meeting, the decision of 48 hours was taken in a meeting that was already held today. So as for when the next meeting will happen will be after the 48 hours.
Yes, which... By all accounts, is tomorrow, no?
No. 48 hours was given at 3:30.
Okay. Was only given at 3:30. Okay.
Yes, it was given
at 3:30. Okay.
Yes. So it was given the minute John announced in Parliament.
Okay.
But that was Saturday.
Okay. No. I thought you were saying it had expired because you had given him before that. So this was only given at 3:30. So we'll wait for the 48 hours and then we'll get an announcement from yourselves as the DA.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for clarifying all of that. The DA spokesperson, Karabo Khakhao, as you could hear, they themselves are saying that they were caught by surprise by all of this. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what the presidency has to say. We'll see what the DA decides to do after the 48 hours. Really, really interesting developments. My sense is that I don't think we're going to get much from the president. I could be wrong on this one. I do think that the DA is going to be the one having to make some calls about what to do next. I don't see the president buckling to that kind of pressure. I could be wrong, but I certainly don't see it. I'd really like to hear what you have to say about this. 086-000-0959. I'd love to hear your comments as well on WhatsApp on 063-688-0959. So the timeline for me is very interesting. And as you could hear, I really wanted clarity on the timeline of when they were told, when did they get to hear, and when they decided to act. Even the threats of the 48 hours and all of that. For me, that's very, very interesting because I wanted to get a sense of whether there were some sort of communications before all of this went public, prior to what we started hearing from the presidency as well as from John Steenhuisen. And by all accounts, it looks like they themselves were sort of, you know, caught by surprise. I just wanted to be clear that there were no murmurs or anything that happened before today's confirmation. And it looks like nothing had happened until today, like, you know, we all were hearing when we got to hear from the presidency. So obviously, we'll keep an eye on the story.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.